on the road or off-road, Chevy Silverado is built for tough performance in any condition. Hit the road in a new Silverado pickup. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for a dealer near you. Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
How are you, Uncle Bobby?
All right, how are you?
Good morning, Bob.
Bob Collins, you silver tongue, silver hair, devil you.
You sound different.
Yeah, yeah, this sounds very, very strange.
Sounds a little off center there, Bob.
Hello? Yeah. Hello? Level?
You're not working it very close.
One, two. One, two. How come roadies can never count to three, by the way? One, two, ten.
How are you, Bob?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
I started working at the Drake in 1974, at the time that Bob started working at WGN. And I listened to him daily.
Good morning, y'all.
And when I would pass...
Always pleasant, always smiling, always happy, cheerful, thrifty, courteous, brave, loyal, clean and reverent. Yeah.
On my way down Michigan Avenue, when he would be out in the showcase, and I would wave on Friday, and he would wave back.
The mayor's kind of mad because we're not out in the showcase studio, and he likes being out there on Michigan Avenue.
He didn't know me, and I'd never met him, but I'm going to miss him.
I promised if you'll come back more often, I'll be out there. Every time you come back, we'll be out
there. I'll be standing out there waving to you, Bob.
Just a little controversy between the news person and the announcer person on the morning show. This rarely happens, but forever we've heard of lake effect snow.
Right.
Is there such a thing as lake effect rain?
Yes, there is.
Ah, 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 ah. Might I say again, ah, ah.
Papa was alone.
Bob, this is science.
Wherever he laid his hat was his home.
This is science.
That'd be the first time.
Okay. Logical. Now, I realize logic isn't a big part of your makeup.
Wait a minute, I've seen that finger before, haven't I?
Number one again.
Bob Collins' love of the air, whether on it or in it, was well known to his listeners, as was his caution. He was a champion of Meg's Field and fought with his heart and his microphone to keep that runway open, talking once about the scare he experienced over the nearby Gary Airport. He found his way to Chicago via Milwaukee, with stops in Tampa, San Diego, and Los Angeles along the way.
Partly cloudy, chance of shunderthowers. Hello, leave me alone.
His trip to the kingship of morning radio here was long and storied.
All right, let me make a nickel for the company.
From the Tyrone F. Gentleman amateur hour in the evenings, to the big orange cap in the afternoons, to a laugh that will stay with us all in the morning.
Wedding gown restoration is a special art. Imagine the thrill of being able to wear your grandmother's gown, Tom, or pride you'll feel as you pass down your own wedding gown. For 38 years, Schwartzoff Cleaners in Evanston has been serving brides. Licensed in wedding gown restoration, Schwartzoff Cleaners uses a special process to restore gowns and heirlooms. Founder and owner, Cleet Schwartzoff, says that the gown you're hoping to wear has been...
I was almost
that close.
We weren't.
Oh, as I was saying, Tom, as the owner and founder, Cleet Schwartzoff, says, if the gown you're hoping to wear has been discolored by heat, cosmetics, gas, or champagne. Gas.
We had the problem in my wedding.
I know if I had a gown. Schwartzoff Cleaners can help. For more information, please call area 312-328-3110. That's 312-328-3110. Tell them Wally Phillips sent you.
And I remember when I was leaving and he was taking over, he came into my office and he said, you know, this is scary. This is a real challenge. I said, yeah, but you're good enough for it. And do one thing. He said, what's that? I said, just be Bob Collins. Don't try to be somebody else because people will see through that right away. Just be you and they'll like you for it.
And it was certainly nice having the Schwartzoff cleaners with us for the short time they were with us.
I think you don't fool people very long. If you're not real and it's pretense, they'll find you out in a matter of time. But if you just treat people like with respect, like you feel for them and feel with them, and I think he knew that, and he was right about that. And that's why people related to him, so they could trust him.
Well, here's Johnny. Yes. Pardon me.
Compose yourself.
Big city, major market.
Right.
WGN Chicago, here's Johnny with the traffic.
And as you all know, our spring fashion editor is Lawrence Schreiner. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Robert.
Could we have just a little preview, a little hint of what might be in for the spring?
Well, don't you wear pink.
I so rarely do. It clashes with the red in my eyes.
But I love pink, and pink is going to be...
That's good, yeah. Fine.
Very, very popular.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
The light's all right for you?
Yes.
Want some water?
Yes.
Oxygen?
No.
As I said a couple of weeks ago, I think sometimes songs come and go too quickly and people don't really pay attention to the lyric line and the message the song is trying to really get across. And I think you handled the last one very well. And I would like again to tell everybody that I have here the paper, which you have not seen. It's still turned over on the desk here. You have not seen this. And it will be a sight reading, much as you've done before. It perhaps will not be as easy to read as you ain't nothing but a hound dog, but it's material that you are more familiar with. Let me just give you that little hint. You want to put on your glasses?
Well, I feel, you know, after having done such an outstanding job as you did on Hamlet's advice to the players, it is no more than meet and proper that I make an attempt at whatsoever you have prepared for me.
Yes, what did he say?
It means he's going to do it.
Okay, good, he's going to do it. Fine, it's quarter after. Could I have the background music, please? The script, Mr. Grayson.
Yes.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen.
Well, this is very appropriate in a sense because I today wore a set of cufflinks. And I showed them to you just a moment
ago. Beautiful cufflinks.
That was given to me by the gentleman who wrote this when he left the station, namely Mr. Saxy Dowell.
He used to work
and,
here.
And it's kind of... It's kind of weird that I would have worn these today, and so therefore I dedicate this to him.
Terrific. Ladies and gentlemen.
The late Saxy Dowell.
Mr. Carl Grayson.
Down in the meadow, in the itty-bitty poo, fam the three itty fishies, and the mama fishy too. Fwim, said the mama fish, fwim if you can. And so they fwam and they fwam right over the dam. Poo-poo diddum datum twatum chew. Poo-poo diddum datum watum chew. Poo-poo diddum datum watum chew. And they swam and they swam right over the dam. But stop, said the mama fish, or you'll get washed. But the three itty fishies didn't want to get washed. So the three itty fishies went on a spree. And they swam right out to the sea. Poo-poo riddle diddle dazzle drip. Poo-poo diddle diddle dazzle drip. Poo-poo diddle diddle dazzle drip. And they swam right out to the sea. Whee, yelled the fishies. Oh, here's a lot of fun. We'll swim in the sea till the day is done. So they sam and they sam till was wark, till all of a sudden they saw a shark. Poo-poo, skiddle-deedle, wadum chew. Poo-poo, skiddle-deedle, wadum chew. Poo-poo, skiddle-deedle, wadum chew. Till all of a sudden they saw a shark. Help, cried the fishies. Oh, look at the whales. And quick as they could, they turned on their tails. Back to the pool in the meadow they swam. And they sam and they sam to the damn old dam. Poo-poo, foodly-wacky, sucky. Poo-poo, foodly-wacky, sucky. Poo-poo, foodly-wacky, sucky. And they swam and they swam back over that dam.
I know this may be a bit presumptuous on my part, but I trust that Bob Collins won't mind. You're about to meet a new personality here on WGN Radio, a stranger from another part of the world, having come to Chicago.
Crossing the highway late last night, and shoulda looked left and I shoulda looked right. He didn't see the station wagon car, the skunk got squashed, and there you are. You got your dead skunk in the middle of the road. Dead skunk in the middle of the road. Dead skunk in the middle of the road. Stinking to high heaven.
And I just want to speak for the WGN audience today and tell the fellow you're about to listen to that he's going to meet a lot of great friends.
Take a whiff on me, that ain't no rose. Roll up your window and hold your nose. You don't have to look and you don't have to see, cause you can feel it in your olfactory. You got your dead skunk in the middle of the road. Dead skunk in the middle of the road. Dead skunk in the middle of the road and is stinking to high.
There is another question often asked of us by new people who come to WGN, and I thought even before Bob Collins asks the question that I would give him the answer. Yes, it's true, Bob. Wally Phillips did start this way. Secondly, I have his home private number. Whenever you run into any trouble, all you have to do is call him.
Do you think he'll take kindly to that?
No. Welcome. We'd like you to meet Bob Collins.
Good evening. Welcome to the Tyrone F. Gendelman. Don't call us. We'll call you Radio After Hour. Perhaps you would like to explain, Robert, to the boys and girls what it is.
What it is?
Yes.
What it is, I call dogs.
You call dogs?
Many dogs. This is not restricted to people on the farms or in rural areas.
I see.
City folk can do this.
I see.
Suburban folk can do this.
Is there
anybody
something
can call a dog.
Somebody can do in their own home without technical or professional training?
Nope.
Okay.
It's very easy. Would you like a demonstration?
I would be proud to hear a yes.
Hang on just one moment.
Okay.
Oh. Robert, my whole leg. Got another number. I could try another number.
Don't, Bob, don't call us. We'll call you.
Chicago awakened this morning with a heavy heart, though still somewhat unconvinced that the jovial voice of Bob Collins on WGN will not be there anymore. Somebody will take his job. Nobody will take his place.
A long distance, directory assistance, every code 212. Say, hey, Emma, this is Mr. Rhythm and Blues. He said hello and put me on hold. To say the least, the cat was cold. He said, don't call us, child, we'll call you.
Welcome to the Tyrone F. Gendelman, Don't Call Us, We'll Call You Radio Amateur Hour. It's a delight to welcome you to our stage, Jim.
Pleasure to be had.
What is what is your particular area of expertise?
Well, I just happen to be hosting, they're on their way through Chicago, the Furtive Family of Fine Frogs.
The Furtive Family of Fine Frogs.
Yeah, that's a water thrill show.
I suppose it would be, yes.
They represent four generations of frogs.
Fine frogs.
Fine frogs.
Fine furtive frogs.
In fact, the furtive family does it all, from running the boat, the plane, the music, the cleaning up.
The plane?
Cleaning up.
Cleaning up. Well, it's kind of, after the act, somebody has to. I've never seen a frog act on the radio, Jim. I'm a little confused as to precisely what it is that they do.
Well, I got to tell you, our star of the show, Flim Flam Furtive, will not be appearing tonight.
Oh, is he ill?
Well, he had an accident incident the other day.
What happened to it?
Well, I guess I can tell you about show business, seeing your side.
Yeah, I don't...
He tried to sniff coke, but somehow he got his head caught in the neck of the bottle.
Well, that'll happen to you. I realize that there are dangers involved in the fast life, as it were. Well, who will be substituting for him?
His brother, who happens to be the second star.
Yeah?
Flipper Legs Furtive.
Flipper Legs Furtive, yes.
Now, one thing I got to caution you.
Yes?
They're used to performing in bigger tubs. Now, in their last show, they played at the Prince Charming Suite at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas.
The Prince Charming Suite.
Am I allowed to plug Caesar's Palace?
Sure, that's Caesar's Palace in Vegas.
Well, if one of the representatives wishes to acknowledge my mention, I do accept packages from 9 to 2 every day.
Okay.
However,
yes.
Because we're using a smaller tub,
mm-hmm.
They are using a safety tank adjacent to the tub.
Right. Well, I'm sure we all feel better for that, Jim.
And since they are working for gratis,
yes.
Strict amateurs in the strict sense.
You're not paid professionals because we do have our, we have our rules here.
Well, they will be working with the lid up.
Well,
that's in case.
Yeah.
See, what they do, the flipper is going to be taken around by a miniature boat, which is powered by Rayovac batteries.
Of course.
Can I say Rayovac?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, if any folks from Rayovac are listening.
I know, Jim, right.
No, Freckles Furtive did knock the battery off Conrad's shoulder.
Yeah.
It was unfortunate that Freckles couldn't leap away quick enough. But.
It's a new game called Squish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, he's gonna leap through a burning hoop.
A burning hoop.
Burning hoop.
Yeah.
And I think that's good enough.
Well, I think it's going to be a terrific act. Now, are the performers, the Furtive family of Fine Frogs, all ready?
They're ready. In fact, we've got Sam the Sagacious Seal is going to tell them to start their engines.
All right.
He was born on December 25th.
Yeah, that's
the real Christmas seal.
I suppose, yes, a Christmas seal.
Moving right along.
Do you want to tell them to go ahead and rev it up?
Okay, Sam, tell them to get going.
Okay, Sam, tell them to... instructions.
Well, I think we got it going. Here we go.
I hear him, yeah.
Here the boat's moving. The boat's moving.
Yeah.
Flipper's getting on his ski.
Right. Oh, he does this from a ski.
So he does it from a ski. He's taking around the boat.
Is the fire going in the hoop?
The fire is going now. We're pouring a little mimosa on it to get it moving. He's moving around. He's taking another turn. He's almost up to full power.
Yeah.
He's coming. He's shaking his little paw. This is it.
This is the one.
He's coming through. He's up. He's through the hoop.
Yeah.
But he overshot the tub.
Oh.
He's in the tank. He's in the tank.
The safety tank.
Let's get these engines off. Let's get them out of the tank. Does he look okay? Wait a minute. Don't flush.
Terrific. All right.
Damn, I lost another frog.
I lose more frogs like that.
I'll tell you.
It's not easy, Jeff, being in showbiz.
What a tragedy this has turned into.
From my side also, Jim.
The Furtive family's in shock. Fingers Furtive is playing some appropriate music on his Hammond organ. Can I say Hammond?
If anybody from Hammond is listening.
I'll tell you, it's hard to believe the crew of Flipper's Lakes Furtive has come to such a tragic end. It was only now that he was flush with success. Family has hopped around the tank to take one last look where it happened. I see Flicka, Flacka, and Flucka. The Furtive triplets, consoling the patriarch of the Furtive family, Frank Fireball Furtive. This frog has seen tragedy in his life. Go on, Flipper. You were more than a frog to me. Someday when the going gets tough and a frog won't feel like taking a leap, I'll remind him of you and ask him to jump one more for the Flipper. So long, pal.
Jim. Jim, truly a moving memorial to the Furtive family of Fine Frogs.
I just think it happened on your show.
I guess, yeah. Are you all right?
And I don't think, and I've talked to a lot of people in the last 24 hours on this subject, and I really don't know. I mean, nobody I don't think anybody in the broadcasting industry thought that he would be able to take over what Wally left and sustain it. Nobody. I mean, everybody thought that was impossible. I think it's really one of the truly amazing stories in the history of Chicago radio that he was able to do that. I don't think anyone, and I mean anyone else, could have done what he did.
Skip Bayless, a sports columnist for the Chicago Tribune. Good morning, Mr. Bayless.
Good morning, Bob.
Skip Bayless is a well-respected sports columnist. He is widely known as a very bright, quick on his feet, quick on the uptake. We've come to respect your judgment.
I know there's a punchline to this.
Now, I've not noticed myself, but Dave says your butt's starting to look a little chunky, so before you strip down for that Macarena thing, you might want to, you know, tone up a little bit.
I'm still at my playing weight, and I'm ready.
I love Tom Arnold's line. He said, I wear the same size pants that I wore in high school. Of course, I'm wearing them 6 inches lower now.
In an age of political extremes and shock radio, we find in Bob Collins an observant, thoughtful, blunt-spoken, but fair and common man who never lost touch.
We were talking earlier this morning. We really, seriously, collectively do not recall it feeling more hot and muggy and sticky. My glasses steamed.
Just plain gross.
Oh, yeah, it is kind of sticky. Well, Mary, you don't sound very pleased with
it. Oh, you know, I spent 15 minutes curling my hair this morning.
I did.
Why?
Too. Same problem. Exactly the same problem.
I know you do.
The people of Illinois had a very, very special person in Bob Collins. And Mr. Speaker, the people of Chicago had a special advocate in Bob Collins because he loved Chicago.
There's a road I'd like to tell you about. Lives in my hometown. Lake Shore Drive and Road is called, and it'll take you up or down. From rats on up to riches, 15 minutes you can fly. Pretty blue lights along the way, help you ride on by.
Democratic U.S. Representative Bobby Rush and a delegation of activists pressed the case for broad federal civil rights investigation into the Chicago Police Department. Mr. Rush is on the line with us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Bob.
I don't even know where to start with you to tell you the truth in this. I don't think you're talking about 10%. I don't think you're talking about 1%. I think you're talking about a fraction of 8%.
Even if we have one rogue cop with a gun, then we're all great.
If it starts up north from Hollywood, water on the driving side. Concrete mountains wearing up, throwing shadows just about by. Sometimes you can smell the green and your mind is feeling fine. There ain't no finer place to be than running Lakeshore Drive. There's no peace of mind the place you see, riding on Lakeshore Drive.
My thought is that we all have to get through this together, not one against the other.
I agree with you on this point, Bob.
There ain't no road just like it, anywhere I found. We're running south on Lakeshore Drive, getting into town. Slipping on my own LSD,
trying to have trouble. Hit the WGN traffic central. Wherever I'm at.
Over.
Long may the Bob Collins flag wave over WGN, which in your case stands for World's Greatest Knucklehead.
It's Friday night and you're looking clean. Worried to start the rounds. A 10-minute ride from the Gold Coast back makes you show your pleasure bound. And it's 4 o'clock in the morning and all the people have gone away.
I'm driving home last night after dinner, and it's dark. I mean, it's past dusk, and there's a guy in a red Jeep. So I flash my lights at him, reminding him, perhaps since he just pulled out of his driveway or something, that
he doesn't have his lights.
That he doesn't have his lights. His response could have been A, completely ignore me, B, turn his lights on, or C, give me the finger. Which did he choose?
The last one.
That's right.
What is wrong with you lately, Bob?
Everybody's giving me the finger.
And it's never your fault?
Well, he has the sign on the car.
Horn broke, watch for finger.
For 20-some years, 22 years, I've listened to that man on WGN Radio, and I started as an apprentice plumber working, and the guy that I worked for had to have WGN radio on, and I'm 18 years old, going, oh, geez, do I have to listen to this? And I train apprentice plumbers to be plumbers, and this kid calls me up, and he goes, now, damn it, you have me listening to WGN all day long.
It's a real heartache, huh?
Todd Martin reached the semis, beating Slava Dozadel.
Who?
Slava Dozadel.
Is that all one name?
Those are two names, Tom. Oh. Slava is the first name.
I got it.
Honey, let's call him Slava. Look at him.
Like I said, I'm 41 years old and listen to WGN, you know, and that's the weird part about it. Now I'm so sad, but I know that everything has to go on, and I just love the man dearly, and I never even met him.
Right, but you knew him.
I mean, we're gonna have a good basketball program. I don't know when the hell it's gonna be, but I can assure you we're gonna have a good. If we got four more guys of Wings caliber, with Wings Kahunas, we're gonna have a chance to win, and that's what it's all about.
That's the Hawaiian king, isn't it? A kahuna?
Yes, exactly right.
I believe that's the reference.
Well, yeah, you have either big or little kahunas.
Well, most of your Hawaiian kahunas are kind of big kahunas.
And see, this is all tying into our conversation about the trip to Hawaii.
Yeah, by the way,
for the football game.
Yeah, send Tom to Hawaii, have him check out the kahunas.
Kahunas, that's right. Elsewhere.
I found there were a lot of them.
Yeah. Has this been a theme this whole show? We started with the Larry thing, and it's just continuing.
Yeah. Well, it's Friday.
Yes.
I like them kahunas.
We're gearing up.
I didn't say it. The coach said it.
That may be the funniest tape I ever heard.
Okay. America's about choices.
Wait. Yes. I got to hear it one more time.
Down the line, we're gonna have a good basketball program. I don't know when the hell it's gonna be, but I can assure you we're gonna have a good. If we got four more guys of Wings caliber with Wings Kahunas, we're gonna have a chance to win.
Bob,
so I think he.
Where'd he go?
He used the wrong.
He's under the table.
Yeah, get a couple of them Hawaiian cats out of here, man.
I think he was confusing two languages there. He meant to use
neither
a Spanish
neither of which was English.
But either one was good.
Oh, God.
You know, it's in those moments after an emotional game,
that's
they played
true.
Very well.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Elia. Okay.
Yeah, Bob, it wasn't anything. What he's trying to say, the kids got
now, Mr. Ed will be speaking for it.
I mean, we're gonna have a good basketball program. Yeah. I don't know when the hell it's going to be, but I can assure you we're going to have a good. If we got four more guys of Wings caliber with Wings Kahunas.
Boy, did I learn a valuable lesson here this morning. I think I know what.
You've seen me in fishnet hose.
Fine, thank you, Larry. Okay, back to you, Dave. All right.
It's a Hawaiian festival, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. The Pride Kahuna Festival. That's correct.
I've been down this road, walking the line that's painted by pride.
I think Bob has been such a treasure for Chicago, and is a just a pretty pleasant, tough radio person, but he had such a feeling about Chicago, and everybody attaches to him.
Go ahead and ask me what the secret is to my success in radio.
Yeah, what's the
timing? America pageant is in real trouble. A couple of years ago, they decided to allow bikinis, and that made some people real nervous. My real point of bringing this up is they've taken the morality out of the contest for all intents and purposes. Get hip. All that stuff is old hat. Purity, virginity, lying, cheating. None of that counts. Come on. Get with the modern times. Step up.
Lean over here just a minute.
You can hit. Oh! Forget the fact that we're about to be in a shooting war in the Mideast. Forget the fact that Chicago has now taken on the all-powerful gun industry. Forget all that. The big news this morning is we've discovered a new dinosaur.
This is very interesting, Bob.
It's basically overshadowed every conversation we've had here at WGN, and now it's front page news.
When is the Tribune going to hire you as their editorial consultant?
I've been waiting for that phone call, but so far nothing.
You're going to get a phone call.
I bet I will.
Remembering Bob will continue.
All right, let me make a nickel for the company
after a short break.
On Chicago's News and Talk, Radio 720 WGN.
But it was all that I could do to keep from crying. Sometimes it seems so useless to remain. But you don't have to call me darling, darling. You never
This is WGN in Chicago, and want to have a little fun. Tom, you're not in any hurry, are you?
Oh, no. What?
I had a commercial in my show this morning that really came to me as a complete surprise. As you know, we always come in a couple of hours early to go over the commercials.
Oh, somehow, we all do, yes. That's
somehow,
true.
This one missed me, and I said, gee, and I did it, you know, very... I had no advance notice of what it was about, and I was kind of hoping it was in your show today, but
what'd you do? You blew the commercial, right?
We just went through your entire, you know, 4.5, 5.5 hours here, and this commercial doesn't appear in the Robert L. Collins show. So this is gonna. I blew it, so we've got to do a make good.
Oh.
All right? Are you ready? Now, do it your usual way.
You want me to do it?
Yeah, I want you to do it now, but, okay. You know, no fair looking at it ahead. You just ready?
Yeah.
All right. You
from
turn the page,
there.
And here we go.
And now, Bally Bras and Wee Bulge present a talk you might have with a bra.
I knew it. He would. I knew it. I said, you won't even get through the first sentence. Can you imagine coming across this?
There was a reason they didn't put it in the show. Wait a minute.
There was a reason they didn't put it in the show, and I just blew the whole thing? There
and
goes
now,
the
account. And now, Bally Bras and Weebolts present a talk you might have with a bra in the back of your drawer.
You got it right. No, I know it's going through your mind. Don't.
How long have you been wearing that bra?
Yeah.
Ever since my wife found it in the back seat of the car. Hold on. Talk you might have with a bra in the back of your drawer. Tom, what do you say to the bras in the back of your drawer? Tom.
Oh. No idea.
Well, right after you buy a custom-fit Bally bra, you might say...
Well, old friend, I think we both know you just don't fit into my life anymore. It's time for me to go my way and you to go yours into this envelope. That's right. I'm sending you away to Bally. And Bally's going to pay me $5. Bally's custom fit system has plenty of bras designed to fit a woman's shape, not just her size. Like new lace and satin pretty fit for the slender figure. Beautiful new lacy self-indulgence for the average figure. And new Sky Bally 2 support and comfort for the fuller figure. Think of it this way. We were worthless together, but apart, you're worth $5.
And now, you can save another $5 on your choice of any Bally bra, or as they say in Germany, stoppenderfloppen at Weebolts, plus get another $5 rebate.
I never heard that before.
Yeah, that's what they say in the old country. Stoppenderfloppen. A $5 rebate from a selection of styles from Bally. Hurry to Weebolts now.
Gee whiz.
Wonder why they didn't put that in my show.
I don't know.
I can't imagine.
I don't understand that at all.
I'm glad we gave them a make good. I'll tell you that.
But they're happy, too.
Yeah, well, sure. I can see the phone. You hear what he said on the radio?
I can handle impersonal obituaries with... even a modicum of eloquence, but I don't know what to say when it really comes close to home. I don't know what properly to say. I just keep hearing a remonstrance from Big Bob, who would make light of our efforts to eulogize him.
Is this thing working? Can you hear me? All right, we've just. well, see, what happened was, this is very strange because I can't hear a thing. Mr. Collins was moving a lamp in the studio and something went and the whole thing has gone away. I've managed to wipe out all the Mr. Carrillo, I'll be leaving right after the show. I don't want to see any engineers. I lost all the computers, the earphones.
Bob, I can't see you.
Yeah, everything's dead. The computers are all gone, the camera's gone, and I can barely hear. The earphones sound very strange. Does the mic sound all right?
Yeah, the mic sounds fine. The mic does sound fine. I know, all of a sudden everything just went completely dead.
Yeah, I was moving a lamp, and all of a sudden there was some kind of a spark. Oh, get out, you can't hear. Hear this, will you? So now the engineers will all swarm around and berate me and probably hit me about the head and shoulders, but everything is gone.
You did this by moving a lamp?
I moved a lamp, and I looked on the cord.
Wayne's in here with me.
I don't think this is very funny. The cord on the lamp is evidently bad, and it sparked or arced or something like that, and everything went away. Very strange.
Well, you want to come on in here with me, Bob?
Conspiracy,
well, I'd love to.
Conspiracy, Bob.
What?
It's a conspiracy. Where's the grassy knoll?
It's right out there.
Where's the second shooter in the studio? Well, the phone lines still work, I think. I don't know what could have happened. It's very strange, but the earphones are bad. Now I can barely hear, and just out of one side, and the monitors are gone.
And you were deaf before.
Gosh. And all the computers are gone. I think what's happened is everything is plugged into this one, like, extension cord. I think everything here is plugged into that one, like, power strip thing, and I probably blew the fuse on that. Remember, David, I was saying earlier to you I wanted to get out of here early today?
Yes.
Yeah, well.
Did Paul finish?
Huh?
Did Mr. Harvey finish?
No.
I didn't think so.
It stopped in mid, is Paul recoverable? yeah, why don't you recycle him and we'll just try him again.
Oh, no.
Reboot him.
Well, I'll be in here if you need me, guys.
Hey, there goes one. Hey, you shot my cow.
It's the second week of deer camp. I got a swollen head. I'm lying with the dust balls underneath my bed. An icy breeze is blowing in through the tongue and groove. My pants are frozen through the floor and I'm so sick to move. I didn't drink too many, only 30 cans of beer. It must have been that last shot that put me under here. It's the second week of deer camp and all the guys are here. We drink, play cards, and shoot the bull, but never shoot no deer. The only time we leave the camp is when we go for beer. The second week of deer camp is the greatest time of year.
I have here Hamlet's advice to the players. And this will show
you. They played cards in those days?
No. The players in those days were actors.
Actors.
Yes. And I would like for you to read this.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, it will show everyone your real, true talents and that this other fallacious type of thing that you do in your pronunciation is pure hogwash.
No. Hold it before you do that.
No. Cease, desist, hold. This is April Fool, and the tables shall be turned o'er.
All right. Over. Which one here? Scene two, a hall in the castle, enter Hamlet and certain players. Hamlet, speak the speech, I pray you, as I pronounce it to you, tripling on the tongue. But if you mouth it...
Wait. Not tripling.
Oh.
Trippingly on the tongue.
Pardon me. Shall I take it from the top again?
Yes, please.
Speak the speech, I pray you, as I pronounce it to you, trippingly on the tongue. But if you mouth it, as many of your players do, I had as lief the town crier spoke my lines. How's it so far?
That's improving.
Nor do not saw the air too much with your hand, thus, but use all gently, for in the very torrent tempest and, as I may say, whirlwind of passion, you must acquire and beget a temperance that may give it smoothness. Oh!
Oh, my word.
He loved to play the bumpkin, and he loved to play the fool, and I want to tell you, this was nobody's fool.
Oh, no.
This is one of the wisest smartest, best read, mm-hmm. best informed people I ever came across.
From Wilde's The Importance of Being Earnest comes the following high comedy scene between Gwendolyn, played by you, mm-hmm. and Jack, played by Vincent Price. You have insisted that the man you marry be a man named Ernest. Jack has led you to believe that his name is Ernest. The setting is Victorian England, and the style is very brisk. As the scene opens, Jack is speaking.
Charming day it has been, Miss Fairfax.
Pray don't talk to me about the weather, Mr. Worthington. Whenever people talk to me about the weather, I always feel quite certain they mean something else, and that makes me so nervous.
I do mean something else.
I thought so. In fact, I'm never wrong.
Miss Fairfax, ever since I met you, I have admired you more than any girl I have ever met. Since I met you.
Yes, I'm quite aware of that fact. I often wish that in public, at any rate, you'd been more demonstrative. For me, you've always had an irresistible fascination. Why, even before I met you, I was far from indifferent to you. The moment Algernon first mentioned that he was a friend called Ernest, I knew I was destined to love you.
You really love me, Gwendolyn?
Passionately.
Darling, you don't know how happy you've made me.
My own Ernest.
But you don't really mean to say that you couldn't love me if my name wasn't Ernest.
But your name is Ernest.
Yes, I know it is, but supposing it was something else.
Like Ralph.
Do you mean to say that you couldn't love me then?
Aha! That's clearly a metaphysical speculation. Like most metaphysical speculations, has very little reference at all to the actual facts of life.
Personally, darling, to speak quite candidly, I don't much care about the name of Ernest. I don't think that name suits me well at all.
Suits you perfectly. It's a divine name. It has a music all its own. It produces vibration.
Well, really, Gwendolyn, I must say that I think there are lots of other names much nicer. I think Jack, for instance, a charming name.
Jack? No, there's very little music to the name Jack. Really at all, indeed. It does not thrill. It produces absolutely no vibration.
Wow, no.
I've known several Jacks. They were usually plain.
Go, Jack.
Gwendolyn, I must get christened at once. I mean, we must get married at once. There is no time to be lost.
Married, Mr. Worthington?
Well, surely. You know that I love you, and you led me to believe, Miss Fairfax, that you were not absolutely indifferent to
me. I adore you, but you haven't proposed to me yet. Nothing has been said at all about marriage. The subject has not even been touched upon.
Well, may I propose to you now?
I think it would be an admirable opportunity. And to spare you any possible disappointment, Mr. Worthington, I think it's only fair to tell you, quite frankly beforehand, I'm fully determined to accept.
Gwendolyn.
Yes, Mr. Worthington. What have you got to say to me?
You know what I have got to say to you.
Yes, but you don't say it.
Gwendolyn, will you marry me?
Of course I will, darling. How long you have been about it. I'm afraid you've had very little experience.
My own one. I have never loved anyone in the world but you.
Yes, but men often propose for practice. All my girlfriends tell me so. What wonderfully blue eyes you have, Ernest. They're quite, quite blue. I hope you'll always look at me just like that.
Oh, Gwen. My own Gwen.
Obviously, that was the voice of Vincent Price. The cackling was Bob Collins. And then there was that Gwendolyn character. Jim, do you remember that Gwendolyn character?
Oh, we did have fun, didn't we?
Oh, Jim Lockman, Lockjaw's with us on the line. When did you first meet him, Jim? How did you guys end up working together?
Bob and I worked together 6 days a week for 10 years.
Yeah.
From about 1974 till I left in 1984. And it flew by. I was talking to my wife tonight about that whole experience, and she said to my son, you know, one of the great things about Bob was that he never got mad at Jim for leaving.
Baby, I've been holding back.
You've been
been driving around the post offices lately? I almost got killed in the post office parking lot yesterday.
Why?
Everybody trying to get those H stamps. It was nuts.
The what stamps?
The one-centers with the rooster on them.
The rooster?
Yeah, the one-cent stamps.
How many people do you know that you write to? Last time
well, you got to send out bills and stuff.
I send out bills. I put it in a WG envelope and mark it official business.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think?
You could do that.
Send the cash.
He doesn't do anything normal people do.
He doesn't.
The first time when I was working with him, and he called his father in Florida on the radio. And I remember, here's this big man's man, as you said. And at the end of the conversation, he said, I love you, Daddy. And I was really taken aback by that, because it was such a warm, sweet, genuine thing to say on the radio, no less. And much later on, years later, we had a conversation about how that so impressed me. And he said to me, hey, I learned you gotta say it when you can.
Got a breaking story from the newsroom. Tom, what's up?
Well, the stock market is doing some strange things this morning. The Dow is down more than 140 points. And all of this apparently is because of storm clouds looming over Brazil's economy.
Now, what does this mean to the $117 I have invested in the market?
You got $112.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, well, there goes lunch.
By the shores of old Lake Michigan, where the hawk wind blows so cold, an old Cub fan lay dying in his midnight hour, the toll. Round his bed, his friends had all gathered. They knew his time was short. On his head, they put this bright blue cap from his all-time favorite sport. Told him it's late, it's getting dark in here, and I know it's time to go. But before I leave the lineup, boys, there's just one thing that I'd like to know. Do they still play the blues in Chicago when baseball season rolls around? When the snow melts away, do the Cubbies still play in their ivy-covered burial ground? When I was a boy, they were my pride and joy, but now they only bring fatigue to the home of the brave, the land of the free, and the doormat of the National League.
Sammy Sosa said it's a habit he picked up in Japan, bowing to the fans. Arizona pitcher Todd Stottlemyre blasted Sosa for doing it.
Are actors, when they bow to the audience, are they insulting the audience? What's wrong with that guy?
Well, but you know what? He ought to stop.
What he ought to do?
We got enough guys hurt.
Walk out to the mound and kick Stottlemyre's butt.
Well.
Play the blues in Chicago. Baseball season rolls around. When the snow melts away, do the Cubbies still play in their ivy covered burial ground? When I was a boy, they were my pride and joy, but now they only bring fatigue to the home of the brave.
Bob.
This is Chicago's News and Talk
and Sports.
After a short break.
Radio 720 WGN.
Buenos dias.
Direct from Havana.
Rick Pearson is here from the Tribune. Good morning, sir.
The Bob Collins Show.
It's amazing. You can pick up the phone in the hotel and call the United States like you're calling Naperville. And Rick just told me that it's about $5 a minute. And B, No credit cards, cash money.
Cash money as you leave the hotel.
What if you don't have the cash?
I assume you might become one of those re-educated sugar cane workers.
Last we heard from Bob Collins was yesterday afternoon on the Spike Odell show, and he spoke Spanish and said, "And so's your old man."
House Minority Leader Lee Daniels with us after little sleep, after a long, long, long night of meeting with President Fidel Castro. About, what do you think, 8.5 hours, you said?
Somewhere in that area. Yes.
Was it boring anywhere in there?
Not for even a second.
You didn't feel like you were going to nod off or anything?
I'd still be there.
You took a notebook full of notes, handwritten, scribbled, even drawn. You drew a picture of Fidel Castro.
Which I wouldn't want to show.
No, I think you're probably average third grader would do a little better. But
Bob, how is it in Havana again?
It's been an interesting few hours since we talked the last time. Several things have happened. It's been an interesting few hours. This is not a boring trip.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I'm curious to talk to you and Tom. Is Tim there, aging radio veteran Tim Peterbilt?
Yes.
Good morning.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
Are you talking about some of the comments that Governor Ryan made to the...
Yes.
It's getting some play here, Bob.
I'm curious as to what is being reported back there, because we are getting two very different scenarios, two very different statements. What are you reporting?
Well, the Tribune story, front page, have you had a chance to see that?
Is that the Rick Pearson story about...
Yeah.
Ryan, his harsh words for Castro. Governor blasts regime for Cuba's many ills and meets with dissidents. That has been essentially the way the story has been reported here in the morning papers, and the stories that we have been getting on it are essentially that, Bob.
We're also reading, Bob, that another surprise is that the dissidents that you all talked to down there, at least that the governor did, instead of saying, don't do any business here, first we have to get rid of Castro, said the way to do business here is open up trade.
Well, we are getting two versions of the story. One, that the governor said the dissidents believe the problem is Castro. The other version of the story is that the governor believes the problem is Castro. The question was asked yesterday, how would Governor Ryan feel if Fidel Castro came to the University of Illinois and said that Governor Ryan was the problem?
Yeah, but who cares what Castro thinks? I think a lot of us could say, I mean, you know, he's the bad guy.
Well, if you're sitting in Havana, as I am, that's quite... quite an interesting position to take.
Yeah. Wait a minute. I just realized. Strike the previous statement. Strike it.
The Beverly Hillbillies will not be seen this morning in order to bring you this special live telecast of Bob Collins on the radio.
Elvis had a big night, New Year's Eve. He split his pants. That's right. Elvis Presley had to make a fast getaway backstage to change after the seat of his pants ripped early in his act at the Pontiac Stadium. He brought in a crowd of about 60,000 people. Can you imagine 60,000 people sitting around? Concert security was beefed up after an 18-year-old and 19-year-old man was taken into custody for threatening to kill the rock star. Who would kill a rock and roll star? That's really sick. Shoot the politicians. Leave the rock and rollers alone.
Hi, I'm Wally Phillips, and I want to tell you why I think you'll like starting your day with Bob Collins on WGN Radio in the morning. First of all, he's very good to his mother. Maybe you could do it for her sake, because obviously Bob's mother loves him very much. And we all want more love in this world, and we'd like to hear that somebody else is loving somebody.
More beautiful.
I won't name the politician. I heard a funny line during the election. One guy, they were sitting around talking about various politicians. One guy said, well, the good news is a lot of people know him. The bad news is a lot of people know him. So, you know.
Bernard Stone. Good morning, Alderman.
Good morning, Bob. I haven't talked to you in a long time.
Is it embarrassing sometimes to say I'm an alderman from Chicago, or is it a proud badge?
Well, I've never been embarrassed by it.
You've been down there a long time, Bernie. You've been from Richard J. through Richard M.
I once was going to write a book called From Daily to Daily and All the Small Things in Between.
Chicago aldermen have long been portrayed in the press as guys that wear pinky rings. You have a pinky ring, Bernie?
No.
And I said, just in passing, I said, you know, at the end, I said, well, you know, when you're in town, stop by and buy a cup of coffee. Darn if you didn't take me up. Good morning.
Well, coffee's expensive, but down in Indianapolis, I want to get a free cup up here. So I said, well, call him up and see if he'll
live up to his word. And here's the coffee. They just delivered it. Thank you very much.
A genuine Tribune Company styrofoam cup. We've spared no expense.
I think that's paper. I don't think this is styrofoam.
How are you?
Fairly cheap. Good coffee. I'm great. Thank you very much. Having a lot of fun traveling a lot. As I tried to reflect, when did I talk to you? Sometime this week. I've been in Kentucky and Pennsylvania and Ohio.
What are you? You're on the speaker circuit, I know. You do a lot.
I do a lot of speaking. Yeah. Right now, I'm publicizing my book, The American Family, Discovering the Values That Make Us Strong.
I wanted to talk to you about that, too. One of the several things I wanted to talk to you about, but that book really epitomizes my main memory about Dan Quayle. You said something about the Murphy Brown television show. I don't remember the exact wording, but it was something to the effect that, wait a minute, we're celebrating a woman having a baby out of wedlock. What's happened to our concept of family? What's happened to our thought of what makes America strong and what really works here? And you were plastered. You were lambasted by the press. And, Mr. Quayle, it's a television show, for goodness sakes, blah, 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 and all that stuff. Comes around. Isn't it funny how things come around? It comes around that people realize, wait a minute, Dan Quayle was saying exactly the right thing. He was saying we have lost sight of our values. We're celebrating somebody having a child out of wedlock.
You're absolutely correct. To this day, I still do not fathom the criticism, the ridicule, the abuse that was heaped on me for suggesting that the model family ought to be an intact family, and that we shouldn't be celebrating the birth of children born out of wedlock.
Have we lost sight of those? I mean, are we that far off the point?
I don't know, but we do need to search our soul.
The team was on a 7-game losing streak, so the co-captains of a high school basketball team suggested having post-game prayers.
Where was this?
Sacramento, California. Bet you know what's coming next. Members of Americans United for Separation of Church and State threatened to sue.
Well, what state is it?
Well, yeah, but I mean, we have that here. We have our own idiots. We don't have to import them from California.
What do you mean by that, Bob?
Yeah, well.
Maybe we should pray before this show every morning.
Tom and I do. Them old bad dreams. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Blah, 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 whatever. Been sleeping in your bed. And them old dark clouds been a-hanging around your head. But all your hard times will vanish in the wind when the mighty clouds of joy come rolling in. Imagine a researcher calling or knocking on the pardon me, how much are y'all doing in there?
Well, and here's
are you liking it or what?
Better to do.
People
what?
Will lie about that.
Oh yeah.
You wonder how.
Excuse me, Tom. I've never lied.
Yeah, right.
Oh, that's good.
Okay, fine. Well, Mr. Sun will shine on us again when the mighty clouds of joy come rolling in.
To Rome, where Bob Collins is on vacation. Hey, Bob.
Buongiorno, you all.
Easy for you to say.
How are you, Bob? Mad about town?
Well, I don't know. There are a lot of screaming, crazy people here on motor scooters. It's a fascinating place.
And you want your Harley desperately.
I do. I want to mow them all down. That's right.
You're sitting out there going, rawr, rawr, rawr.
But now, do they drive their Harleys on the wrong side of the street over there?
They drive them anywhere they want to.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Sidewalk? Yeah. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right. I mean, you always have to be looking over your shoulder at somebody on a Vespa. Beep, beep, you know. Mm-hmm.
What,
how you doing there?
Good.
Good. What time is it there?
It is 8:35 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. That's late for you.
Well, hey, I'm an old fella. I got to slow down.
now, so you're just ready to board the tour bus, right?
No, we have done the touring. We have been to Salerno and to Pompeii and to Napoli and to Florence and, my God, we Siena. We've been everywhere.
Are you taking pictures, too?
Of course not. I'm going to take pictures. What? It's an old building. Honestly, ruined from 2000.
Bob!
Looks like the other one. It's like looking at basilicas. You know, you see one, you've pretty much seen them.
Well, I would be willing to let you bore me, but never mind.
I know you're going to really hate this, but my other line is ringing.
Oh, you are kidding.
Sorry.
It is ringing.
Yeah.
Have your people pick up that phone, please.
My people are in the shower, I think.
Oh, no. Do you need to grab that?
Well, no, go ahead. That's all right. Tell them. They can take a joke. Went to an audience yesterday with the Pope. I mean,
oh.
It wasn't a private. No, it's like 7,000 of us. I mean, it was out in the arena or whatever you call that area outside.
Mm-hmm.
But the man is old and frail. He sat out in the hot weather. And I mean, it's in the high 80s here, but at least it's humid. Sat out there for like 2.5 hours.
Wow.
It was amazing. It was just amazing.
I bet I'm just imagining that the crowd kind of adds to the electricity of the man being up there.
It's truly exciting. It really is exciting. Everybody, you know, El Papa or whatever the hell.
Yeah.
You know, everybody.
You
well.
Don't want to be struck by lightning in Rome. Come on.
Well, I'm curious.
Okay.
When he does that kind of a thing, is there a lot of security around him?
Oh, yeah. You want to? I'll tell you where security. Yeah, there's security around. A lot of there are all kinds of policemen here. There's the Calabresi, and I'm sure I'm not saying it right, military police, and then the Polizia, the regular police, and then there's the Swiss Guard at the Vatican, and they're all over the place. But here's a strange thing: the King of Saudi Arabia was staying at this hotel for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about security. They had guys. I swear to you, I'm not exaggerating. They must have had 70 people. All up and down the street, mm-hmm. each of them speaking into their sleeve like Secret Service, and all of them with a very obvious gun bulge either under their armpit or on their hip. I mean, it was real security, and they were like Secret Service. If you ever dealt with them, they had no sense of humor at all.
Yeah. Now, have you been to Rome before?
I've been to Rome, like, overnight. I've never spent any time here. Mm-hmm. This is the first time I've ever really seen Rome. I've been through here, that's all.
Is it what you expected?
Yeah, and perhaps even better. I really find it after a while, I know it sounds silly, but after you've looked at one ruin, after a while, they kind of take on somewhat of a sameness.
But
I found it very interesting, and I found the people very nice. Food is wonderful.
Oh,
my gosh. And everywhere you turn, there's a better plate. It's just amazing.
Whoa.
Well, so it's been good.
Speaking of food, one bit of advice, be kind of careful with your credit card. True story, and I don't say this to scare you. My brother, who is used to be a teacher, now he is a travel agent. He's over in Rome and in various places several times a year.
Like he was in
Rome.
I don't
know he was a travel agent.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why did I book through him, for God's sake?
Well,
I didn't know. I thought he was still teaching.
Yeah. Oh, he's loving this. This is a whole new world for him.
But he had a horrible experience. He was over in Rome, as a matter of fact. They went to this one restaurant. This is where they kind of traced it down to. He gets back home, and all of a sudden, there's about $20,000 on his credit card that he didn't put there.
Right, fur coats and jewels
and
amazing
stuff.
They
traced it down to, apparently, while he was at this one restaurant, someone at the restaurant, when he had used his credit card, they got the number, and they proceeded to use that in any place. Yeah.
That could happen in Plant City, Florida.
Yeah.
And fortunately, I don't have to worry about it because I lifted your card before I came.
Okay, fine.
What are friends for, right, Bob?
Yeah, right. And by the way, this is on my nickel, so see you around.
Okay. Bye, Bob.
Bye.
Bye.
Be careful. Bye-bye.
Ah, the
wonderful theme song, How Long Has It Been? Ladies and gentlemen, to the south side of Milwaukee, Ana Hay, where the streetcar bends the corner around, it is Fern Quimby Melrose, our lovely lady of charm. Fern, baby.
Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight?
Well, Fern, I can see that you are still in the same voice.
Well, see, I'm a little let down this morning because I noticed you ain't had no Christmas music there with your eggnog, you know,
well,
your big party.
Well, we've been so busy noggin', lady of charm, that we haven't had time to sing, but that'll probably happen later.
Well, over here at Maude Rogan's Single Girls Retreat
and Party Store, yeah.
We was going to have a big production number, and Bambi Wisniewski was going to sing harmony with me on that. Don't you love the classics like that?
You know, that's really one of the big, big parts of the holiday season.
But me and Bambi's having a little feud again.
Oh, Lady of Charm, I'm so sorry. What now?
See, I drawed her name in the annual Christmas tree gift draw, and she's mad at me because last year I got her name, and, you know, I asked for a hint. She said she wanted software, and I got her a fuzzy robe and some of them pink curlers, and she's been mad.
What would you consider a hardware? Combat boots?
That's about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we do have the party set up going here. We got a big yogurt sculpture of Mistletoe Bear and the Grinch right in the middle of the room here.
A big yogurt sculpture, do you?
Yes. And little oatmeal cookies, you know, shaped like Wilford Brimley.
Well, some things are traditional, of course.
Of course.
Yeah, I've wondered, Lady of Charm. Now, a couple of years ago, I remember you talked about you were coming out with a special Fern Quimby Melrose Lady of Charm Christmas doll. I wonder if you have a special Christmas gift for this year.
We do. See, there are a couple of ones that we can't choose from. They're kind of running neck and neck.
Uh-huh.
There's the George Bush doll.
The George Bush doll.
Yeah, you don't talk. You just read its lips.
Yes. And,
and it comes with 1,000 points of light.
I understand
that. With Italian bulbs, you know, make you want Spumoni.
That's real nice,
and finally, the biggie, I think, is going to be the Jimmy Swaggart doll. you just prop it up and it watches you play with Barbie.
Well, again, another wonderful holiday happening from Fern Quimby Melrose, the Lady of Charm. Merry Christmas.
Let's cheer for the mistletoe.
Yeah. Thank you, Lady of Charm. The Jimmy Swaggart doll just sits there and watches while you play with Barbie. Now, if you will, seriously, record those promos so Lorna will get off my back. I'm sick of her calling, saying, please ask Dick to record these. Well, please.
We're doing this on the air?
Yeah, we're going to do it on the air. Sure, punch it, you know, big time.
Okay, bring it from within.
That's
like
right.
The coaches,
yeah,
the acting
as they
coaches
say in acting. Yes, that's right. Let me give you your motivation. How about a paycheck? That's always good motivation. Well, motivated me.
All right. This is Butkus. Listen up. When I'm doing the Bears game with Larrivee Arkush and that little guy, Fensick.
Dick, you sound like a wussy. Get in there and punch, man. Let's make it tough. Old number 51. Get mean. Okay. Damn it. I'm Butkus.
All right. This is Butkus. Listen up. When I'm doing the Bears game with Larrivee Arkush and that little guy, Fensick, I want you to turn down your TV and turn up your radio. Got it? Good.
Yeah.
Something like that?
That's good, yeah. Now try that second one.
What's this other one?
Revert to your normal smile.
I'll tell you what.
Revert to your normal nasty attitude.
Tell all those kids that are thinking about growing up to be football players, turn around, be a writer.
Yeah. Do something with your life.
Yeah. Is this the same motivation?
I think so. Me,
yeah. This is Butkus. Here's the play. You can watch the Bears game on the tube, but you're going to turn down the sound and turn it up on WGN, if you know what's good for you.
I'll rip your face right off. Try that.
It's the first read.
Yeah, a little better. A little better.
Usually they give you about five takes.
Yeah, let them practice,
this. I gotta coach Roger with the weather like this all the time. You know, come on.
You were sitting up here. It's 4 o'clock in the morning, going all over this stuff, and then you hand me this thing.
Come on, you're a pro, man. Go for it.
All right, this is Butkus. Here's the play. Now you can watch the Bears game on the tube, but you're going to turn down the sound and turn it up on WGN if you know what's good for you.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Mr. Butkus, I'll see you at the next game.
Years and years of experience.
Yeah, good seeing you.
Okay, man, thanks a lot. I'm really surprised that you talked to him that way.
What?
Yeah, because I hear what he says when I leave.
I listen. Very best things about him.
Chicago Bears, Chicago Bears, we're going all the way to the Super Bowl. That is our goal. Let's cheer, hooray, hooray! Chicago Bears, Chicago Bears, the team from
one
morning, Coach.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm all right. How you doing?
Good.
Every morning, every week at this time, we always start trying to figure out what to ask you, what's on your mind, how to... Instead of that, why don't you just tell me what you think, Mike? How you feeling? Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. I mean, it's not easy. It's hard. You know, it seems like when they have the right play call, we're in the wrong defense, and we have the right play, wrong play call, they're in the right defense. You know, just a lot of things are happening. Then we get ourselves in a position where we can't win it, and we can't make the plays, and it's just one thing after another. It's you know, and the guys tried. They really did. They played hard. They tried. We'll try to get better. We'll keep working at it, and that's all we can do.
Yeah, I guess I meant more on a personal level. Are you okay? There's a picture, of, as you know, in the Tribune this morning of you shaking your fist at, I guess, a fan or some fans or something.
Well, the Tribune is full of crap, and let's face it, if that's the most important thing, fine. Let them do what they want to do. Let the media do what they want to do. Let the Tribune do, the Sun-Times. If those people are the pillars of what this society is all about, bull. So that's my feeling exactly. At least we've made somebody happy. That's the malcontents and the lousy people that in the media.
Yeah, I can't speak for all those people, of course, but I can tell you that I flew back with a plane load of people last night who are genuinely concerned. They're not angry. They're not angry at you. They're not angry at Mike.
Well, if they're angry at me, that's fine.
No,
I said
they're not.
I want them to be angry at me. Let them be angry at me. That doesn't bother me.
They're not angry.
Who the hell are they to be angry at anybody?
What I was trying to say, Mike, is they're not angry at you or Mike McCaskey or anybody else. They're genuinely concerned because they think the team has fallen apart.
You can make all you want out of it. You want to make me the scapegoat? Go ahead. I missed the field goal then. That'll make it easier for you. That'll answer your question. Mike. That'll give you something to write about and talk about for the rest of this week.
Mike, there's no need getting mad at us. We're not.
I am mad at you because I think what he's trying to do is wrong.
Well, no,
he's
I'm...
trying to blame a missed field goal on hauling a guy for kicking the ball out of bounds. And that's silly. If you can't kick the ball in the ball of field, you shouldn't be able to kick off, period. Now, what else you want to know?
What are you going to do next week?
We're going to try to win.
Okay. Lots of luck.
Vikings coming on a blitz. McMahon back to throw. Hurls it deep down the middle. Willie Gauls is out. They'll make the over the shoulder catch of the 30 to the 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown.
Yeah. All right. You know how he was able to throw that pass? Because Walter Payton blocked Scott Dugwell coming in. Just put him right on his butt.
Dave said earlier this morning that Walter quite often said, you can't count on tomorrow, so do it right today. And he was exactly right. Only 45 years old, a very, very young man, but a very special guy.
One of the smartest, most fun, mischievous people you could ever want to be around.
I got a picture on the wall of my office of Walter pulling Matt Sui's pants down. He loved that kind of thing. He just loved that kind of thing.
The losses are coming with more frequency this season for the Green Bay Packers.
Could you move on to something else?
It's ugly when it gets
ugly. Isn't there something else?
I have a hunch we're going to hear that a few times, just once or twice this morning.
You know what? Seriously, what's happened to the Packers?
They're still 6-3, Bob. They're not in awful shape, but clearly this is not the team they have been the last 2 years.
Bears are in awful shape. Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, the Curtis Enos situation, the Bears are preparing for life without Enos. Edgar Bennett replaces Enos in the Bears starting lineup, and the Bears will give a tryout today to former Ohio State Buckeyes star Pepe Pearson.
Who?
Pepe Pearson. Terrific tailback for the Buckeyes.
Of course he is.
Years ago, he's been on a couple of practice squads.
Yeah, of course he is. Okay.
What's funny about Pepe
Pearson,
Bob?
Nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing at all.
Okay.
Bears down, Chicago Bears. Make every play pave the way to victory.
We've heard reports from Punxsutawney Phil and Woodstock Warren and various other...
Are you going to a groundhog party or something, Bob? You're
well,
snazzed up
actually,
all of a sudden.
I am going
Berwyn, Bernie.
To a yeah, I'm going to a groundhog party in Toronto, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Swersk.
Bob,
Charlie,
how you doing, Bob?
Chuck Swersky is on the line from Toronto. How are you, buddy?
Well, actually, you know what? I'm on a plane as we speak.
Where are you now?
We're off to San Antonio.
Here's the important question. Before you got on the airplane, did you walk outside any this morning in Toronto?
As a matter of fact, I did, Bob. And
We've all been waiting. Did you see your shadow or not?
I've got some terrible news for you.
What?
I saw my shadow.
So 6 more weeks of winter.
Yes. I know it's very difficult.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Yes.
Do you still have the Mr. Peanut costume?
Can I make a confession?
Yeah.
It's in my closet.
Of course it is. Well, sure. Chuck Swirsky on a plane from Toronto to San Antonio. He's the voice of the, what is the team up there, the Toronto Raptors? Yeah, that's
Raptors.
Right. No, not Rafters, Raptors.
I thought they were named after those beams in the ceiling.
No, nor on those little wooden things that float down the river.
So like a velociraptor.
One of those guys that stood in the street corner and made that an irritating cadence music stuff.
No,
that's not it either.
That's a rapper.
What is segregation?
I don't know what segregation is.
What is bigotry?
I don't know what bigotry is.
What does hatred mean?
I don't know what it is.
What is prejudice?
I think it's when somebody's sick.
Diane has a technical type question, Tom, and since you are the most technically impaired person I know, I thought maybe you'd like to try to go with us.
Yeah, you've come to the
second
right guy.
Hi, Di.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, I'm not too good.
What is your problem?
Well, I want you to hear this noise. Do you hear it?
Oh, yeah, sure do.
Do you?
Yeah, what is that?
I got woken up this morning with, it's in my VCR.
Your VCR?
Yes, and we have no clue. I turned the power off and everything, and it's still going. And I can't find my book on it.
Did you, is there a tape in it?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Take the tape out.
Yeah, take the tape out.
I'm serious.
No, seriously, take the tape out.
Try that.
Go ahead, take the tape. We'll wait.
Eject the tape.
Yeah.
Do-do-do-do-do. Yeah. That sounds like an alarm clock.
I know. And there's no alarm on this that I know of.
Is the tape out?
The tape's out.
Still doing it.
Uh-huh.
Well, sledgehammer comes to mind.
Pardon me?
Sledgehammer. You know what? Unplug the Hummer.
I did?
Unplug it. Not turn it off. Unplug it.
Unplug it.
Okay.
And then plug it back in.
Yeah.
I got to kind of crawl under here to get it.
Oh, my goodness.
Your foot's not in a bucket of water or anything, is it?
No.
Okay.
Well, my husband's already put my head in one.
Well, why you? It's not your fault, is it, or is it?
I unplugged it.
Yeah.
Now it can't still be beeping with no power going into it.
I swear it is.
You unplugged it and it's still beeping?
Yes.
You unplugged the wrong thing.
No, I didn't. Oh, yes, I must have.
Yes, you did.
You had to.
Hey, Brian.
Brian, you idiot.
Brian.
Get over there. Brian.
They're hollering at you.
Come on, chip in, Brian. For God's sake.
Wrong cord.
Poor Diane is over there crawling.
Oh, wait, no. I'm sorry. It is unplugged, but the TV's still on. That's what I'm looking at. The TV's still on. But
well, where's the noise coming from specifically?
It's coming from... Where's this noise coming from, Rick?
Unplug the whole thing.
Go to the fuse box in your home.
You know what? Hold it. I'll bet you Pete has the right idea. I bet
Wait a minute.
Okay.
You got it.
Somehow things are not going real well at Diane Bryan's
place. I have to tell you something.
Yeah? What?
No, I'm totally embarrassed.
Yeah?
I have unplugged it. We have been up here for 20 minutes.
Yeah?
Trying to unplug this sucker.
Yeah.
And you know what it is?
What?
Yeah, there's a clock right above it.
Well, that's what it sounded like, an alarm clock.
I know, it sounds like a clock alarm, alarm clock.
Diane.
Now, turn the alarm off.
He just did. I have never used this clock. The
Diane.
The ladies were here yesterday.
Are you all right, Diane?
No. It's right above. I have it.
Yeah, all right. Okay, Diane, let her rip.
Let her rip. Listen. Good morning.
Hey, another technical problem solved. Okay.
Listen, I could have done it without you.
We'll continue with Remembering Bob. After a short break.
Glad we could help.
Chicago's News and Talk, Radio 720 WGN.
I will remember you.
WGN Radio, Chicago. This is the Bob Collins Show.
Will you remember me?
Tragically, Uncle Bobby is listening from a different place today.
Let your love pass you by.
Supportive lunches and dinner 7 days a week at Rex's Pork and Fork. In St. Charles.
Why do you suppose he set them in that order?
Rex's
cork and fork.
Is a casual dining experience.
You'll never make it.
In an atmosphere accented by a decor of very warm, natural elegance. For over 25 years, Rex.
Why are you even trying?
You read it.
Oh, no.
You read it.
No.
For over 25 years now, let me wipe my eyes. Okay, big time. For over 25 years, Rex has had his meats delivered fresh daily, assuring you they never see the freezer. Rex's Cork and Fork at 317 Main Street. That's Route 64 in St. Charles. Rex's Cork and Fork, where dining is an affair. Radio 720 WGN Chicago.
A typical day for Bob Collins, waking up an audience of thousands.
So it's still cold outside. It's 12 degrees officially, you know, here.
Whether it was politics.
She called somebody and said, all right, time to belly up with the $10,000. Come on, Buckaroo, get it up here.
Right.
Tell me one politician in the world who hadn't made a similar phone call.
Or his love for animals.
Let's talk about Terry Anderson, her two huskies, and the Animal Welfare League.
Collins touched on many of his hot-button issues on Tuesday. He could be informal.
Patchy Densper. Pardon me.
And he could wax eloquent.
Some things I have learned as I aged. Age 6. I've learned that I like my teacher because she cries when we sing Silent Night. Age 7. I've learned that you can't hide a piece of broccoli in a glass of milk. Age 9. I've learned that when I wave to people in the country, they stop what they're doing and wave back. Age 13, I've learned that just when I get my room the way I want it, Mom makes me clean it up. Age 14, I've learned that if you want to cheer yourself up, you should try cheering somebody else up. Age 15, I've learned that although it's hard to admit, I secretly am glad my parents are strict with me. Age 24, I've learned that silent company is often more healing than words or advice. Age 26, I've learned that brushing my child's hair is one of life's great pleasures. Age 29, I've learned that wherever I go, the world's worst drivers follow me there.
Boxed and labeled Maynard's Oofta Cube.
Yeah. Maybe you would like to explain to the boys and girls that are not into the Norwegian culture, lutefisk and lefse and stuff like that, what Oofta means.
Well, Oofta means whatever you want it to mean. Things you can say on the air when you're happy, things you can't say on the air when you're not. So it means a lot of things.
It's time to clean
up our act. It says the Oofta Cube was created by a Norwegian to be enjoyed by Norwegians and all that wish they were, and those who aren't are glad that they aren't. And now, I have something for you. But I have to go out and get this animal.
Wait a minute. Hold it.
Yesterday Max started the Farm Department presents to
you. Well, he did give us the Earl Butz song, which we'd never received before.
And the sign.
Yeah,
now, we started out with the frivolous things, but now comes the serious, useful kind of thing that I bought because of your present condition. I mean, you hurt yourself, and you've been rather limping around.
You brought me a cane and some crutches.
Jim can also use it if he gets into this.
So will you wait till I lead it in? Sure. I'm still worried about
so
Roger.
He leads it in?
Okay. Did he say lead it in?
He said lead it in.
Oh, I don't want to hear. No. What?
It's a shillelagh or something like that.
I just decorated it a little bit. But,
it's a walking stick.
It is indeed a walking stick. And I think we probably can't describe this on the air, but Jim, if you want to read the...
It says, read it to yourself. Join the ecology movement, recycle natural resources, a little sign on this. It's a lovely walking stick. Well, go ahead and read it then.
No, I want you to get a little closer to it.
Wait a minute.
I'm going to get out of here now because...
It's a walking stick from International Biologics, Inc.
That's right, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
International Biologics.
Just fondle it, Bob.
It's a nice walking stick. It looks...
That's right, Bob.
It's very sturdy, Bob.
It's strong.
Hey, Bob, you like that?
That's a nice walking stick.
Yeah, looks good on you, Bob.
I'm being set up here. I know.
Here, Bob, read that right there. That little silver tag there, read that,
it
Bob.
It says...
No, careful,
go ahead,
Bob.
Believe it or not, this is made from the reproductive organ of the bull. Jim, hold this. This is a bull.
Wow!
It's very agricultural, Bob. You'll notice that I wanted to get you a golf putter.
Yeah, the way I putt.
The way you putt, but...
Is that right? This is the reproductive organ of the bull?
Would this be a good time to say, whoop-da?
Whoop-da.
But you notice they do make lots of items there.
The company is called Bully for You. Oh,
no, it's International Biogenics up in Minnesota.
Is that really true?
Really true, yeah.
You're not putting me on?
No, not at all. Uh-uh.
I have a walking stick that's a reproductive organ from a bull. Orion,
yes.
I thought when... Where's our Jerry Clowers record? I thought when Max, a couple of years ago, gave me the bag bomb
for my birthday, that
perhaps that was the epitome, or as they say in France, the cream de la cream, or the piece de resistance. But to have a walking stick, John, to have a walking stick made out of the...
Yes, I know what you're trying to say.
Reproductive organ of...
Well, you have been walking rather slowly, and so I just
think
felt...
this is going to help, Orion?
...that you may need something to lean on.
I am. Let me ask you a question.
I may not answer it, Bob. I'm leaving.
Being as scientific as we can, how do I ask this?
How do you ask that question?
Yeah.
Don't, because I'm not going to answer it.
Can this, in fact, be used as a walking stick? They must process it somehow.
Yes.
I don't know how.
No, it is processed.
Yeah, but it's very sturdy. I mean, I thought
absolutely.
It was wood. I mean, it's as strong as wood.
Absolutely.
Here, let's... That you, Wilt? Sorry.
Ooh, and there's 3.5 more hours to go.
Thank you, Orion. I had a wonderful time.
Yes. All right, Uncle Bobby.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Baby, don't you want to go?
Age 39. I've learned that if somebody says something unkind about me, I must live so that no one will believe it. Age 41, I've learned that there are people who love you dearly but just don't know how to say it.
Take the land of California, my sweet home, Chicago.
Age 44, I've learned that you can make somebody's day simply by sending them a little card. Dear Bob, my wife and I just spent a few days in Northern Illinois, listened to WGN, enjoyed the station. However, we cannot say the same for the hospitality of Illinois. Does everyone in that state have a scowl on their face? Bill and Sharon Johnston from Norman, Oklahoma. No, Bill, Sharon, we're nice people. We don't scowl all the time, except maybe when people from Oklahoma get in front of us and go, you know, below the 93 miles an hour that we like to drive.
Yes. He was Chicago in the spirit. Bob and GN will go on forever.
Attention, attention. It's February. We got a WCI, which is a wind chill index, and a TC. What's a TC? Hey, Dick, what's a TC? Tough what?
Celsius.
Oh, temperature Celsius.
Remember, we used to give the temperature in both Fahrenheit and Celsius here.
I know, and we got memo saying it's February. I remember those days, sure. temperature Celsius. Well, who gives a rat's about that? Come on. Would you really want to go watch a golf tournament? Just about the time he starts that swing, don't you want to... Boo!
Yeah.
We volunteered to drive the beer cart at the Spike Odell golf tournament, and were summarily turned down, I might add.
We don't have the right equipment, I don't think.
Well, I did mention I would wear a short skirt and a garter. I don't.
That's nice.
Yeah. Okay. No matter what you think of Jesse Jackson, he brought our three boys home, and how can you not love a guy like that?
Those on the football team whose uniforms are clean didn't play in the game.
But still, Bill Clinton didn't want you to go.
Misguided missiles, quote unquote, mistakes are guiding the agenda.
Wait. Are you saying there is, in fact, a diplomatic solution available?
Absolutely. Our purpose is moral, but our tactics ain't working.
You can see that smoke for miles.
You'll also be at Morris this weekend with the...
That's Morris. Morris, Illinois.
What did I say?
You said Morris.
Morris.
Morris, Illinois. There is no R in Morris.
Well, excuse me. Pardon me. Max Armstrong will be at Morris, Illinois.
That's right.
It is an M-A-H-R-R-I-S.
Hey, hold this, will you? Well, do me a favor.
Hey, we're number one again. Amazing.
I just come in here to spend a few hours with some friends. I don't come in here to take the pipe from you guys every morning. You know?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
It's like a big orange. It's horrible.
Oh, God.
Okay. We'll be in Mars.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mary V.D. with all the traffic.
How many years have you been out of the South, Bob?
I've been out of the South a long time, Max.
You would have thought, being a professional pronouncer...
No. No, let's
announcer,
back up.
Not pronouncer.
Let's back up right there and deal with that term, professional pronouncer.
I would have thought that this would have been left behind.
Max will be in Morris, Illinois, with his two lousy tractors that he stole from his dad for short bucks.
Now.
Yeah, Daddy, I tell you what, you give me $500, I'll haul this piece of trash off for you.
Better watch it. He's not going to give you one of his new little toys.
Oh, yeah, I got pictures of the Christmas party. I got those toys, as many as I want.
Yes, sir, the whole truck load.
I put a spell on you.
Age 46, I've learned that the greater a person's sense of guilt, the greater his need to cast blame on others.
Stop the things you do.
Age 47, I've learned that children and grandparents are natural allies.
What's up? I ain't lying.
They're starting to put people off of airplanes. When they come across from Europe or something, they land at Bangor and put the person off the airplane into the arms of the law because there's so much air rage.
Rage.
Yeah.
They should just open the door.
Kick them.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I would support? I would seriously support no drinking in airplanes.
Oh, wait a minute.
Okay, Tom, I didn't mean to see.
Hold it.
You can take the boy out of Wisconsin.
What about all the responsible people who like to have a cocktail?
Yeah.
No, that's not fair.
Tom, who said life was fair?
Well, it wasn't me.
Just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Now let us have, let us tell
about the age 49. I've learned that singing Amazing Grace can lift my spirit for hours. Age 50, I've learned that the motel mattresses are better on the side away from the phone. Age 51, I've learned that you can tell a lot about a man by the way he handles these three things: a rainy day, lost luggage, and tangled Christmas tree lights. Age 52. I've learned that keeping a vegetable garden is worth a whole medicine cabinet full of pills. Age 53. I've learned that regardless of your relationship with your parents, you miss them terribly after they die.
All the saints, we will care.
Uncle Bob.
All right, how are you? There are a lot of people, and I have to admit that I'm one of them, that think work's good for you. You know, I really do. I think it's good to work. You know, if somebody gave me $10 million tonight, I wouldn't be out of here lying on the beach.
I would.
Well,
so would Dick.
Let me think about this.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, really.
You'd be in Arizona. You wouldn't be on a beach.
No, I don't think so. I really don't think so.
You'd get bored.
I had the opportunity to do that very thing here a few months ago when the contract was up and chose not to.
You'd miss us, though.
Yeah, I would. I would miss doing this. This is not like if I had a job I didn't like, it would be a different story. If I was unloading a truck or sitting in an office adding up columns and numbers, I would certainly think of it. But this isn't like work. This is getting together with your buddies and talking about fun things, you know, neat stuff. Age 58, I've learned that making a living is not the same thing as making a life. Age 61, I've learned that if you want to do something positive for your children, try improving your marriage. Age 62, I've learned that life sometimes gives you a second chance. Age 64, I've learned that if you pursue happiness, it will elude you. But if you focus on your family, the needs of others, your work, and meeting new people, and doing the very best you can, happiness will in fact find you. Age 66, I've learned that whenever I decide something with kindness, I almost always make the right decision. Age 72, I've learned that everybody can use a prayer. Age 73, I've learned to believe in miracles. And to tell you the truth, I've seen a few. Age 82, I've learned that even if I have pains, I don't have to be one. Age 85, I've learned that every day you should reach out and touch someone. People love the human touch. Holding hands, a warm hug, or a friendly pat on the back, it's all wonderful. In age 92, I've learned that I still have a lot to learn.
Good morning, Bob.
Then what's it?
Talk of good morning, y'all.
Thank you. Everybody. We're Chicago's News and Talk, Radio 720 WGN.